Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Danielle Hilly, who is going to be talking about the latest police brutality scandal in the city of Albany. So, Danielle, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So, give us an overview of exactly what happened and how it happened and where it happened.
So on March 16th, police responded to a home in West Hill for a noise complaint. Their body cameras were rolling when they arrived on scene, and as many people saw from the videos, the situation escalated very quickly and turned into an officer kicking in the door and three who were either in the house at the party or on the street during the altercation being physically assaulted by the police officers. So in the wake of that, the police chief announced the suspension of three officers, and that one of those three officers had been arrested on assault charges and governmental interference charges, and that there was approximately 11 or 12 officers actually on the scene. The videos were then released by the city court judge. They were posted on Facebook. They were posted on news outlets. They were posted on YouTube. And they show some pretty disturbing images of what actually occurred during that incident. In response to that, there was a rally held the Monday following the release of the videos. And then that was held over in West Hill. And then there was a second protest slash rally held in Townsend Park. And that pretty much brings us up to today.
Okay, now, there has other incidents in the past. This is just the latest incident of police brutality in Albany. It just saddens me to see that there isn't a better relationship between the cops and the black community. What would need to happen to change that?
I think that's a lot easier to project than it is to actually do, because a lot of that contention stems from longstanding institutional racism. It's been written in black communities, about black communities, portraying us as more criminal, as more dangerous, as, less cooperative, as, all these things that cause the police, especially when with interactions with our community, to behave differently than they would in a quote-unquote nicer neighborhood. I think for us here in the interim, while we work on those larger, more broad, sweeping issues, I think here we can have better dialogue with the police officers. We can work with the police issues and to come up with solutions and to find out ways to implement those solutions. This isn't a huge city. It's a decent size, but it's not huge. It's not so big that we can't have realistic expectations as a community for the police, and that we can't both bring that information to them and work with them to ensure that they meet the community's expectations. We have community policing, we have things in place. We need to be deliberate in our interactions to ensure that they are working for us and that the police are working with us. I have set up three community meetings the first one of which is going to be Monday, April 22nd. It's a community meeting series on police interactions with the community. The chief is going to be there. There's going to be opportunities for the community to talk about the harm that was done to them in this incident, and truly the harm that's been done to them over the years. As you said, this isn't the first incident. The second meeting is going to be on May 7th. That's going to be an opportunity for the community to work with the police department on coming up with some suggestions on how we can make changes, some of the suggestions on where we go next, how we get there, and really have like a think tank to talk about the next steps. The last meeting is going to be on May 20th, that's a Monday, and that's going to be how do we implement the plan that we came up with at the May 7th meeting? Like, how do we institute the suggestions and the changes that the community was looking for? After that, you know, I hope to have some follow-up meetings later, and there'll definitely be continued conversation with the police department. But I think these are the steps that we take. I think that we have to be part of the solution. We have to be part of the conversation. We also need to make sure that when the test comes up for police officers, that we have black and brown children, black and brown adults that are taking that. Like, you know, as soon as our kids are able to take that test and they're interested in changing this and being community police officers, we need to be encouraging our boys and our girls to become Albany police officers. We have to be part of this solution. We have to be part of it. And if we're not taking proactive steps to be police officers and police administration, then we're not taking all the steps that we could in order to change the way that the Albany Police Department interacts with the residents that live here.
Would you say that there's going to be an effort also to elect common council members, citywide city officers who will have the best interests of the citizens in mind when they perform their governmental duties? Do you think that's important also?
I do think it's important. Unfortunately, Albany has a very low voter turnout. About 20% of the community makes the decisions for the whole community. We have to be out there. We have to learn about the people that we're electing. Important to understand who they are, understand what they stand for, make sure that the information that they're giving us is not just to make us feel better and it's stuff that they can actually do. Make sure that they know what they're talking about. Like, we can't just sit back and just vote for the names that we know. We need to vote for people who have a vision that is in line with ours and who are willing to make the tough steps, to not just be the politician who talks nicely about everybody because they want to be voted in again. We need that person that stands up and really actually takes a stand for the community, who actually says, this is not okay, the community doesn't want this, and I'm going to fight for it, whether these people in quote-unquote high places like me or not. Like, that's what's important. It's really important that we elect leaders and not followers.
You know, you remember that I had gone down to Thanksgiving with you for giving free dinners out. At that was
Allie B's.
Right. And the owner of the place, Allie B, I believe, she was the sweetest, nicest person.
She's an amazing person. She is, you know, she does so much in the community. She's actually going to be providing snacks at the May 7th meeting. so that the community that comes out to do the work has, you know, a little something to eat, since we're going to be at the meeting during dinner time. But she's just a fantastic person. You know, she is the kind of community that we all need to strive to be.
Yeah, and what's so amazing is, in spite of all of the violence and the area in which she does her business, she's just so loving and caring. It was
overwhelming. Yeah, she's just an amazing person.
So, Danielle, were you born and raised in Albany?
No, I was not. I've only been back here for 11 years. I'm just over 10 years, 10, 11 years, something like that. I came here to go to UAlbany to get my bachelor's degree, and I just never left.
Okay, so over the 10-year period, have you seen, describe to me the differences, whether they've been good or bad for Albany?
I think it's been a little bit of both. I think when it comes to policing, believe it or not, they actually have gotten better. There's more responsiveness. We have the community police officers, the beat officers, which are just, they're fantastic. They really have been given the opportunity to be the boots on the ground police officer who knows the community that they work in, who knows the people, who knows them by name. You know, they've really made a significant difference in community policing and the city. I think, though, that there's also been a decline. There has, we've lost businesses. We've not really added the necessary resources into communities. Places like the South End and West Hill, they don't have a grocery store. They don't have a pharmacy. They are lacking. There's no gas station in the South End. There is one in Arbor Hill area towards the top, but there's a lot of, oh, and there's also the Stewart, so they have two, but there's a lot of missed resources that, you know, the people here have to figure out how to get to those resources in order to have the things that they need. And I think that leads to some if not many of the issues we have. There's also a very quickly shrinking nightlife here in Albany. I know when I got here, we had nightclubs and I was younger then, but the scene was a lot more, there was a lot more stuff going on. And I've watched places where to go close, and there'd be less and less things for non-college students to do. So I think that really leads to some of the spillage and the problems that we're having.
So what would you suggest to remedy that? I mean, I've driven up and down Lock Street. Drove up and down South Pearl in the evenings, and you know, sometimes there's young people out and about, and other times the whole area is dead. What do you recommend for more nightlife in this, or more cultural events in the city of Albany?
I mean, we have to encourage the growth. We have to cultivate it. You know, we give a lot of breaks to these buildings that are going up. Where are the breaks to more? We need to give more breaks to small businesses. We need to help them cut through some of the red tape that they experience, and we need to be open and willing to allow them to. I know that, you know, some of the nightlife has tried to relocate, and they have been denied the ability to do so. So you know, we've played a part as a city in creating some of these issues, because people do need an outlet. They need places to go. They need to be able to congregate where, you know, humans are social animals. That's just the type of people, like, that's just what we are. We all look to spend time with others and congregate. And without those spaces, you know, we will create our own spaces. We need to be a lot more embracing of businesses that provide the necessary outlet for people to socialize.
When you look at what's going on in the city of Albany, are you hopeful or discouraged about the future?
I'm always hopeful. You know, as long as we put in the effort, we will definitely be able to do it. We just have to get together and address a plan, like come up with a plan and follow through with it. So I'm always, always, always hopeful. The glass is always half full. We just have to be the change that we want to see.
Do you think that the new police chief has made a positive difference in the city of Albany?
I would say that that's kind of a two-sided answer. I think that he really hasn't been here long enough to really make an informed decision about that. But I do think that there was some turmoil in the beginning with his responses to the Eleazar Williams case. I think there was positive in his response to the March 16th incident in West Hill. I think that we'll learn a lot more in the coming days and months about what his position is and how we're going to move forward. But I think right now that my response in that is pretty neutral, because I'm watching and waiting to see what he's going to do.
What do you think the reaction or feeling in Albany? How do you think most people feel about the new police chief?
I think that depends on the community that you're in. I think in the areas where we're having a lot more issues, I think that the rating is going to be lower. I think in the neighborhoods that are considered nicer, where there really aren't any issues, regardless, just like not regarding who is in there, it doesn't really matter who the police chief is. If they're not having any personal issues, they don't have any issues or really an opinion on the chief. So I think that they're ultimately going to be a higher rating in those neighborhoods. You know, we had a lot of violence last year. We had a lot of loss of life. You know, we had the police shooting of Eleazar, and we followed it up with, you know, this incident of police brutality. So I think for the community, they're harmed, they're hurt, they're upset, they're disgusted, they're angry, and that they need to see that the chief understands that and that he is working to correct any issues and ensure that these incidents don't continue to occur in the future. And that's what's really going to define the community's feelings on him.
So you scheduled 3 meetings to discuss this particular incident. So after the 3 meetings, Danielle, I would like to have you come back on Focus on Albany and share your thoughts and how do we as a community move forward to counteract all this negativity.
Absolutely.
Great. So, in the closing moments, Danielle, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Nope. I just like to encourage people to come out and speak up at the community meeting. There is a Facebook event page for it. It's called Police Interactions with the Community. And there is an option to submit questions, comments on online for anyone who can't come. And there's going to be a live stream of the meeting for people to watch. So there's a bunch of options for people to get involved in this, and I hope that they'll take one of those options and make sure that their voices are heard.
How will it be live streamed? Where can people see it?
They'll be able to watch it on Facebook.
Oh, on
It'll
Facebook.
Be live streamed
great.
On
okay,
on my page. The page is A Block at a Time. That's who's set as the organizer for the Facebook event, and that's where
okay,
we'll be live streaming from.
Great. So after the three meetings, I'd like to have you come back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts on what transpired and, like I said, how do we move forward. So you've been listening to Danielle Hilly, who has been talking about the latest police brutality scandal in the city of Albany. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Danielle, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany during this holiday weekend. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.